Hello and good afternoon, Roaring Fork Valley. This is Diane Johnson, your host of Senior Matters. And yes, it is winter out there. I don't need to tell you that, do I? I look out the window and I see snow. It's beautiful. It's cold. It's wet. It's freezing. I'm warm. I hope you are. Let me tell you a little bit about Senior Matters. Senior Matters is a non-profit organization whose mission is to foster diverse educational and social programs for seniors of all ages. Senior Matters collaborates with agencies, organizations, and services to bring a wide variety of programs and happenings of interest to our senior community. Senior Matters is located at 3rd Street Center, and we have incredible programs, Tai Chi, Bridge, Yoga, special events. We also have our Roaring Fork Brain Train on Mondays and Wednesdays. That's about Senior Matters at 3rd Street Center. Now, we're Senior Matters here at KDNK, and I have two incredible guests, and they're going to share time with me today. One of our gentlemen, Bob Schur, he's from the Colorado Ombudsman Program, and Home Williams, an incredible artist here at 3rd Street Center. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. How do I split my time with two gentlemen? Well, I'm going to talk to the man who's out there in our community, out there helping. Bob Schur, tell us about the Ombudsman Program.
Be happy to. My name is Bob Spooler. I am the Garfield County Ombudsman. The Ombudsman Program is federally funded, comes down to the state. The actual headquarters for the state program is in Denver. And then they put out grants to different locations, mainly through the AAAs, and specifically, in our case, the Alpine Legal Services got the grant to run the Ombudsman Program in Garfield County. There are 10 facilities that we are ombudsman for. An ombudsman, some people may not be familiar with the what an ombudsman is. It's basically an advocate. And I advocate for residents at these long-term cares facilities. There are four of them that are nursing. There's two kinds of long-term care. One is the nursing homes, nursing facilities. And the other one is what we call assisted living facilities. The assisted living facilities is exactly what it says. It's a place for seniors and other people too, but primarily for seniors, that provides basically areas where they can live and also provide food. A nursing home as opposed to a assisted living facility provides much more, specifically in the medical care and much more medical provisions, nursing things, etc. So you have to be pretty independent to be in an assisted living facility. You do not have to be independent to be in a nursing home. The nursing homes, however, even if you can't be as independent as you would like, you still have rights. And that's what the Ombudsman is all about. The Ombudsman Program basically ensures, advocates for the residents and makes sure that their rights are being listened to and followed. And whatever concerns, complaints, etc. they have, I work with the facilities to try and take care of that.
When you say you work with the facilities, what is it that you do? How do you coordinate the client, participant, the resident?
Well, there's two different things that I do, actually more than that. But the primary thing is I listen for complaints, and there's posters listed at all the facilities with my name, unfortunately my picture too, and my phone number for people to complain. But in addition to that, I go around to the different facilities. For the nursing homes, I visit at least once, usually more than once a month, to just talk with residents, find out things are going, and to look at things to see how all the things anything from what I won't call minor, but whether the facility is being maintained, et cetera, and then talk to as many residents as I can, whether it be in the lunchroom or whether it be in their actual rooms, and find out how things are going. Many of them, I don't know if it's a requirement for the assisted living, but most of them have what we call resident council meetings.
Yes.
Which usually are once a month, and I try to attend as many of them as I can to find out what the concerns are. Once I have determined either there's a complaint, or if I, in talking with the resident, there seems to be an issue that is not being satisfied by the resident is not satisfied with the outcomes that are coming, then I go to the facilities and discuss it with the facilities.
When, you know, boy, it sounds like very involved. When you do go to any of the facilities and you speak with one of the residents there, what kind of complaints would they be having?
They can be all the way from I'm not getting a quick response when I ring push my button, et cetera, for assistance. They can be concerns about the food they're eating, not necessarily the quality, although that can be an issue, but most of the facilities around have very good cooks. But more, you get in with some of our senior citizens or some of our residents where there's specific types of food that they cannot eat. They may have to have their that they have to have soft food because mm-hmm. of throat issues or lung issues, etc. And so they may not like that. They may not want that. One of the things that's very difficult, not for the facilities because they understand it, but you have a right as a resident to have the food the way you want it. And that was one of the things. Well, let me back up for a second. One of the biggest changes for me, or one of the biggest things I had to learn, is as an ombudsman, as an advocate, I'm there to advocate for the resident. I spent most of my life being a administrator, leader, whatever, in colleges. That's my background. And I'm used to solving problems. And I listen to what the concerns are, et cetera, check into what the other side of the story is, et cetera, and then come up with solutions.
I love it. You're not a reactionary. You have to listen.
As an advocate, I can still find out all the facts, mm-hmm. but let's use a specific example. A resident is not getting ready for a doctor's exam. Okay, they're taking the resident to the medical facility to have this doctor's exam. If that resident decides, for whatever reason, that he or she does not want to go to that medical appointment, they have a right to refuse that. Now, obviously, there's implications on that, et cetera. But the bottom line is they have a right to decline a medical appointment, to decline medication, et cetera. Now, that's problematic, especially on the medication side, but it is a basic right.
Exactly.
Residents don't lose their rights to say yes or no or to make choices when they move into a long-term care facility. They retain those rights.
And those rights are in HIPAA.
Yes. Well, HIPAA, among many other things. It's
that's
not just
true. And the facility.
Right. And so basically what I do as a ombudsman is I'll listen to what the concern is. Let's go back to the food, for example. They don't like, they're tired of mashed potatoes. They're tired of other things that are very soft, etc. I will sit down with them and we will talk about what it is they want. They want hard food, etc. I will make sure that they understand the implications, the medical implications of that. By talking with the facility and the doctor, if necessary, the doctor, usually I can get off the charts and everything, I will understand why it is they want he or she on soft food. But after they learn that, after they have been, it's been explained to them, if they still want to have hard food, even if it could be dangerous to them, cause repercussions, I'm there to advocate for that particular thing. Mm-hmm. Same thing on medication, if they don't want it. Now, if they refuse medication more than one time, we probably will have a conference with the medical doctor and make sure they understand what's going to happen if they continue to refuse medication. But the bottom line is they have a right. And families have trouble with this because they expect us to take care of the facilities, to take care of these people. And if they need medication, by golly, they better get that medication, even if they don't want it. If they want to go out and go on a bus ride, and they don't think they should be going on a bus ride, as long as it's safe, we can make it safe, they have a right to choose that. If they don't want to go out and visit around, they want to stay in their room, even though the family or others may think, well, that's not healthy, and they may be right, it's still the choice and the right of the individual to accept or decline those choices.
You said a key word also, family. Where does the family, where do you and the family communicate?
Usually not that often, other than I get complaints from family members, which I follow up. I'm not there to represent the family. I'm not there to advocate for the family. I'm solely there to add, and I'm not there to defend or to advocate for the facility. I'm solely there to advocate for the resident. And there have been times in which the family's not been happy with me because they expect me to go ahead and side with what they want to see done. And they may be right. It's the best interest, in their mind at least, of what the resident should be doing. But if the resident doesn't want to do it, then I'm there to advocate for the resident.
How long have you been on the ombudsman program?
Very short time. Summer. I joined in the summer. Came in initially as a volunteer, and then the person I was supposed to be assisting left. So I'm now taken over after going through a bunch of training and some shadowing, etc.
What are your challenges right now as an ombudsman?
Probably my biggest challenge is what I mentioned earlier, and that is changing that mindset from being a pure problem solver, getting the facts from both sides, etc. I'm still doing that, but it's hard for me to let go on being an advocate for what's the best solution, rather than being what I have to be, and that is an advocate for what the resident wants.
How many facilities?
We have 10 in Garfield County. Six of them are what we call assisted living facilities, and four of them are nursing facilities. So, and we got some new ones being built. As you know, the one right across from the on the Ski Light Sunlight Bridge, that one's coming in. I'm not sure if it's going to be both nursing and assisted living or if it's going to be just nursing home.
Give me that location, Sunlight Bridge.
On the west side of Sunlight Bridge, just as you come over Sunlight, you get just going over the Roaring Fork Bridge, there's a new building or new construction, actually several buildings, on the left side. Oh, used to be, I think, okay. A tennis club at one point. And it's on. It's right there at Midland Road, where the circle is.
Okay, got it. That's where I was thinking it was. So, you're new kid on the block?
Yes, I am.
Are you learning things?
Oh, yes, yes. In some of my previous volunteer lives, I've always taken on challenges. That's the reason. I'm having worked at a community college, Colorado Mountain College, and before that, several other community colleges, I'm a true believer in lifelong learning. And one of the first things I took up when I retired from the college was the Medicare counseling program, and basically tried to learn, I'm still learning, the Medicare, the whole Medicare, Medicaid area. There's a three-day training program that you go through that you just barely put your toes in the water. And then I also signed up for the tax program to do tax preparations. And again, in both cases, you're dealing with a lot of rules and regulation, thousands of pages, etc. But I find that challenging, and I really enjoyed that. So when I saw that they were looking for a volunteer to assist the ombudsman program with the long-term care facilities, I said, well, that sounds like another challenge. So I went ahead and signed up. I'm still doing the other two, and that helps, really. It's surprising how much that really assists.
I appreciate that from you because I know we do the tax assistance program and we do the Medicare information program through Senior Matters. So knowing you are there for us, Senior Matters, and knowing that you are there as an advocate for residents in skilled nursing and assisted living facilities feels good.
Well, thank you.
I want to thank you for sitting down with me, talking about the Colorado Ombudsman Program. And I'm so sorry I pronounced your name wrong. I said sure instead of Schuler.
Spooler.
Spooler. Well, I did it again. I did it again.
That's all right. People have trouble with the last name, especially the way it's spelled, which I won't go into.
Okay. I thank you very much. Thank you for spending a few moments on this wintry day with us and telling us about the Ombudsman Program. I do have to let you know, it's KDNK, and you're listening to Senior Matters, and I am Diane Johnson. We just had an incredible brief discussion with Bob Schuler from the Ombuds Program, and now on to a whole different venue, and we're going to be talking with Hone Williams. Hone is an incredible artist who is located here at 3rd Street Center. And just a brief moment, I just want to tell you, I took one of my clients for a walk during the bad weather down the 3rd Street galleries. And Hone is in there. Alprima is in there. We have CCH artists. And today we're going to be talking with Hone. Welcome, Hone. Thank you for sharing time with us.
It's a pleasure being here.
I'm not sure how we're going to, you know, describe your incredible art, but let me talk to you first as the artist. How long have you been here in Colorado and Carbondale?
For about 10 years, I guess. I used to come out here into the area back in the 60s, and I just loved it and said, one day I'm going to move. And 50 years goes by real fast, but I finally made it about 10 years ago.
So 10 years ago, you came to Colorado. So did I. And I remember very briefly you and I touched base on sharing an experience at Big Sur. Who would have known? I was talking to the gentleman across from Senior Matters, you, Hone, in your studio, and we both shared a time that we were at Big Sur down the coast of California.
That was a great time.
It was a nice connection. Hone, you are an incredible artist. You are a traditionalist in your artwork, but then what I viewed and what I saw took me on a fantasy trip with some incredible artwork. Tell me about what you call your SAS series.
The SAS series, yeah. Seriously Audacious Situational Surrealism. That's SAS. My real heart is in doing fantasy surrealism. I also have done a number of landscapes and portraits, but what I really love to do is to kind of let my mind wander into weird areas, you might say, and come up with these images that are definitely surrealism.
Now, that image is on a 4x6. Let's go into one of your pieces. They're,
4 feet by 6 feet. That's the largest that I've worked.
Okay.
I'm working on one now that's only 3 feet by about 21 inches, but it's the same definite subject matter. I've kind of, I did landscapes for a while, and I've decided to kind of back off the landscapes, which are very traditional, and get back into the surrealism, which is really where my heart is.
And for those of you who want to see this, let me tell you, on his 4x6 piece, there are so many incredible areas to focus on. And each area, even though it may be only 2x4 inches, is a whole story. And the characters are whimsical, satirical. They are kind of sick, some of them, too.
they're a little strange, some of them.
A little strange. Where does that come from?
Well, I stopped taking drugs 40 years ago. But people say you must have a good memory, and I think maybe that may have something to do with it.
I jokingly said to you the other day, was this on your LSD trip? Because that's what it appears, incredible.
I was in the film business for a number of years, actually as a sound engineer, not as a visual artist. I was using sound as a medium of art at that time. I used to give sound shows in Philadelphia several times a year with just sound mm-hmm. effects and mm-hmm. wonderful, strange mixtures of sound. I lost track of where I was at on that.
Sounds like me. Is that familiar with you guys out
there?
Oh, yes.
Now, I was saying I was in the sound business, in the film business, and there at that particular time, which was in the 70s, it was a very drug and infested business, and less so today, I hope. Where a lot of I think my inspiration came from, some of the situations that I found myself in.
You know, there's a little blurb that I pulled out of an article when you were interviewed, when you were exhibiting your works in Aspen at the Red Brick.
Yeah.
And what you said, a short history of humanity from the beginning to the end. Right. And it features a lot of nudity, lots of color, and a cartoonish, slightly naughty sense of humor. You seem so reserved. You seem so... You know, you've got this distinguished beard and mustache and...
Look a little like a professor.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
And I think there are probably a lot of professors that think the way I do.
Where did this artistic talent come from? I heard you say sound engineering and the studios and...
It's in my family, too. I had several quite well-known artists, all of them female. Back in the early part of the century, portrait painters. It definitely is kind of in the family. My daughter now is an incredible artist. She's so much better than I was at her age. She's
How old is she?
24.
24. How old are you?
70. I'll be 76 in about a week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. We share the same year of birth. We are just mm-hmm. 2 months apart. I'm in March.
Ah, okay.
So we kind of, you know, between Big Sur and the history and art, you are an artist.
Creating things is always, I mean, that's always been what I've done throughout my life, whether it's been done with... I've worked with metal, I've worked with wood, I've done all sorts of different mediums that I've played with throughout my life, and I finally decided about 10 years ago that I better get my act together and start finishing a few things, and that's how I got into oil painting again. But I've only been oil painting for about 10 years now.
Mm. Mm. You've only been oil painting. Would you say you're retired?
I retired, yeah. Into what I really love doing, what I was really, I think, meant to do, which is creating.
And that's what, you know, what are you retired from? You're retired from a part of life that no longer exists for you. You are doing what you want to
do. Yes, I was a digital illustrator. That's the career that I retired from. Okay. I did a lot of work for children's magazines and things. A lot of work for Highlights magazine. I don't know if mm-hmm. you might know that one.
Mm-hmm.
I did a page a month for them. But it was always working for an art director. It was always working for essentially someone else, even though the same creative effort went into it. Now I'm the art director.
And I love that. I see that. You open up when you say now. You just smiled. And I'm the art director. You're doing it for yourself. You're creating for yourself.
It's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah. What's going on in your life besides this incredible art?
Well, I have a wonderful relationship with a lady, Nancy Thal. I have two daughters, both very interesting young ladies, 20 years apart in age.
Well, congratulations, Dad.
One is Hannah is down in Boulder going to Naropa University. She's also doing artwork and trying to get a permaculture landscaping company going with a friend.
Thank you very much, Hone. This is Diane Johnson with Senior Matters. I've had Bob Schuler, Hone Williams. Thank you for visiting us today, listening to us. Remember, the more you work your mind, the greater the cognitive reserve and the greater your ability to withstand the inevitable challenges of aging. Walk, read, talk, share life, live it up, and dance. Life is good and filled with wonderful dreams of all things possible. Goodbye for now. Thank you for listening.